AC Green Show.
Welcome to the AC Green Show podcast. Another episode. Yeah. We are critical thinking space here. If you like thought-provoking critical thinking, you're going to love this. But if you don't like that, this may not be the place for you. But try to hang in here if you can. All right. Hey, listen, today we're going to deal with the economy and our personal economies and how we make it through a bad economy. How, as a matter of fact, we do great in a bad economy. Just be aware that I am pro-black. And so at some point, I'm probably going to go there. But because I am pro-black does not mean I'm anti anything else. So no need to be offended. We love you, too. All right, George K., my guest today from Loyola University, he's an economist. Hey, George K., welcome to the AC Green Show podcast. Tell everybody and even further explain to me, what is an economist?
Hey, AC, thanks for having me. An economist is someone who is basically a student and someone who's learned a lot about the various workings of business and how our world operates from a business perspective. You know, try to understand kind of what various things impact people's ability to create and do commerce.
Yeah. So over the years, I'm sure as an economist, you've seen a whole lot of things. I mean, maybe economic downturns, bad economies or recessions. You were not around during the 1929 depression, huh?
No, not that old, not quite that old, but I've seen quite a bit over the last 20, 25 years and 30 plus years, actually. I'm 57 years old. Okay. But this is nothing like we've seen in our lifetimes before. It is definitely, I'm a student of the Great Depression and what's happened. And this is definitely something that probably has not been rivaled since that time period.
Yeah, but what I want to know now, you mentioned that time period. What makes this now, before 1929, of course, the last pandemic, I believe, was 1918. What makes this so different from other economic downturns?
Well, it's, different in that we're seeing something that in a time period where communication, where distribution of information and things happens in some ways almost instantly, right? We're in a global economy and we have global communications with the internet and things that never existed before. This pandemic is something that affected, not us here locally, I mean, which is what we've experienced with most of the other economic recessions and downturns. You have recessions that have gone across the world, but they've done so in various stages. This is something that hit the entire world theoretically at the same time. And it's something that is impacting all economies, all countries, all continents at the same time. And that's something that is somewhat rare because, again, you've got to go back to a period like the Great Depression to see this kind of global impact.
Hmm. So look at this, George K., from Loyola University, by the way. There's somebody listening right now, and they're making between $30,000 and $50,000 a year. They are a homeowner. They have a family. They're concerned right now because maybe there will be a job loss. Some have already lost jobs, all of that. How does something that happened in Italy or China or Japan, how does something that happened all the way across the world affect that family?
Well, that's a great question because, as I mentioned, we're in this global community now, and something that started somewhere that's not even in this country, China, carried across, as you mentioned, to Europe, Italy, other places, then came to our shores here in a very, very short period of time like this. And now what the immediate impact has been that we've seen is this almost total shutdown of economies and businesses and industry and countries across the globe. Everyone is shut down. And they're starting to now slowly come back online. But what happened during this time period, it was like a light switch going off. I mean, basically, everyone's at a standstill. Stay-at-home orders that we know about here are the same things that you've seen not only in other states in the United States, but again, in all, almost all countries have instituted these type of kind of shutdown to contain the virus, hopefully to, you know, minimize its spread so that the impact from this is lessened. But here's the reality of it. The impact of staying at home is that we can't go out and do our normal jobs. So that average person that had, you know, his normal job that he was going to is now stuck at home, forced to be in this quarantine situation until this virus at this point, you know, kind of passes us by. That's a very difficult situation because, you know, as we've been out of work here in Illinois and been staying at home for, you know, almost going on 2 months now, that's a very difficult thing for people to, you know, have to deal with because they still have bills to pay and they don't have that income coming in the way they did before. It definitely helps when we have some of the government assistance, the stimulus that they've passed out, but those are minimal dollars and they're things that people can't rely on for long periods of time. So it's going to be a very difficult situation for a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of long-term consequences from these type of things that people have to be concerned about. So they got to start preparing for it. I think it's a different world and we have to be prepared and start, you know, waking up to what the new is going to be.
Yeah, but if I'm at home and I am comfortable and I have a little money or I have a job and I'm working from home, but let's say I don't have a job and, you know, I have a little money and the state, the governors are telling me to stay home. The mayors are telling me to stay home. They've made a provision where the electric companies and the gas companies, the utility companies, you know, are not coming after me to shut my stuff off. So I have the security in knowing that they're giving me $1,200 and another $1,200 and then unemployment and all that. I have that. That, you know, makes me feel comfortable in the space since I have to be in the space. George K. from Loyola University. Tell me, that comfortability that I may feel right now, because I feel that they have me, the governor, the mayor, I feel they have me. How does that translate 3 months from now?
Well, here's what we know, AC. You know, you mentioned, you know, there's some measures that are in place right now that are you're helping people, you know, kind of survive at this particular point. We know that there's no situation that is built for a long-term situation where we have to stay at home. We can't stay at home for the next 4 years until they develop a vaccine, if it should take 4 years.
Okay, why not? Why not? Why can't we stay at home for the next 4 years?
Okay, well, from economic standpoint, let's look at it. So how does the government function to be able to give us these stimulus checks or to try to do all the various trillions of dollars of support that they're trying to give to the U.S. you know economy and the people that live here? The way that the government makes money economically is by raising taxes, right? So you basically have people working and companies working, and they pay taxes to government to be able to support the government services, the different, you know, all the different programs that they have, all the different stimulus checks that they're sending out. All those come from taxes that are raised. If people are at home, staying at home, and they're not working, or it's a very small number of people that are doing those things, obviously the government doesn't have revenues coming in to be able to keep these kind of programs going on. And, you know, before this crisis started, remember back just, you know, a couple, you know, over the last several years, we've been talking about budget deficits every single year, right? We don't have budget savings going on. We don't have a surplus of savings in government. We've been running for deficits for 20 years now.
Well, so they say, listen, George K., they say, well, listen, the government is the government. They have a bank, a treasury. They can print more money.
Right, but anytime that you're printing money, all you're doing is devaluing what the value of that dollar is. In other words, you know, by increasing dollars that are created, it doesn't increase value of something. And now people have more money. Let's say everyone had $1 million. You know, you're still going to go buy a loaf of bread, and that instead of that loaf of bread costing a dollar, it's going to cost $10,000 for that loaf of bread. You know, the multiplier effect that you're talking about printing money just causes prices to go up to match whatever that is. So you don't feel any richer. You just have this, you know, you have additional dollars to pay for things that cost more money when you do that. That's not a long-term solution. Nobody, we can't live under that kind of a scenario. That's what they did. If you think back to the Great Depression that you mentioned, back then, people that had savings, whatever it was, governments printed money back then. And I don't know if you've heard the stories, but you had loaves of bread that were costing what amounts to thousands of dollars to buy a loaf of bread. So wow. People were using all their savings, whatever it was, to go buy a loaf of bread. So right. That's not a solution to print money.
And I do remember that it got so bad, they used to have bread lines.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that is not a solution. That's not something that, you know, if we print money, then every other country prints money, then the value of everything just gets raised. It's not going to feel any different than it does right now, because the prices of everything around you are going to go up to match that.
And then with unemployment being what it is now and where it looks like. Now, what do you think, by the way, where do you think the unemployment rate is going to go?
Well, this is a very difficult situation, because we've never been in this kind of a situation. And the numbers, they're talking about numbers that, you know, match the Great Depression. We're in those numbers right now. Now, the question is this going to be a long-term situation where we're going to be out of work like this, and these numbers are going to be 20%, 25%, 30% unemployment? And you know, you mentioned, your constituency. If there's people that are in the Black African American communities, they might have unemployment levels that are going to be even significantly higher than that. They're in lower income jobs sometimes, yeah, or wages that are not at the higher end, and some of those jobs are going to get cut, unfortunately, you know, maybe more so than at other levels.
Yeah, I always say when white America gets a cold, Black America gets double pneumonia. So we're going to have the double pneumonia effect. So that means it could be 50% in the Black community unemployment, as high as that. And then even with those who are working, based on what you're saying, I can imagine that they'll be working longer and harder for less money.
That's exactly right, AC. I mean, you know, the question becomes, what does this look like, you know, coming out of this situation? What we know, and, you know, you hear about it, but you don't yet believe it, because I don't know how many, yes, our lives have changed. We're staying at home, and that's a different environment than we're used to in the past. We're still not feeling the effects of what has happened yet. And as the longer that this is playing out, the longer term these effects are going to be on everything. We don't understand that our jobs are not necessarily going to be there. I mean, you're looking at this week, there are headlines of all these different bankruptcies that were happening, with JCPenney, if you heard, filed bankruptcy, and you had J. Crew, and you had Neiman Marcus, and they're talking about Macy's maybe filing bankruptcy, and The Gap possibly filing bankruptcy. You're going to see and that's just in retail. Obviously, these things are going to be seen in all sectors of the economy. You're going to see all areas impacted: food service companies, all the large restaurant chains like your McDonald's and Burger King are probably going to be strong enough to be able to survive. But the local places you like going to might have a very, very difficult time, especially with all the new rules are going to be in place, these social distancing rules and everything else.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, George K., is people over time, maybe in the next 30 days or what have you, across the country and locally, will be able to, you know, have more mobility and get out of, you know, the house and maybe function in a more open society like it used to be to some degree. But then they may not have a job to go to, or they may be underemployed for the next 5 years. So the reason we have your brilliance on the podcast today is because you are an economist, George K. from Loyola University, and you are going to lay it out for everybody. How do people in the Black community do well in a bad economy?
Well, here's a couple of things to think about, AC. And I think, it's great that you're bringing these questions and getting people to think about these things, because, you know, we can't just be force-fed the things that people are telling us that are just sound bites, you know, that you keep hearing on television here and there. There is going to be some significant changes that people should be prepared for and get ahead of, so that they can be survivors and they can thrive in this new economy instead of just, you know, trying to find a way to muddle along and just wait for, you know, what the government wants to try to figure out for us like that. Government is not going to give us the jobs that we're looking for like this. This is a time for us to reinvent ourselves, to kind of think about what we can do. We're very resilient people. I don't want to downplay and make this sound like just a negative. We need to take a negative and try to turn it into a positive here. The reality is people are very creative, inventive, they're entrepreneurial. They have to think along those lines now, because if they can't go back to those normal jobs, they got to think, well, what new things might be available that they can do? Where can they turn their skills to? How can they reset their skills to something that's going to be more relevant in the new period that we're dealing with? And I'll give you a couple examples of that. You hear a lot about these, a lot of the testing that's still going on and other things, and this contact tracing that they're going to be doing. I was, this last couple of weeks, I started talking at length about how new jobs are going to be created in the contact tracing field. That didn't even exist a month ago, 2 months ago. You're talking about tens of thousands of jobs going to be created for people that are going to be employed to actually follow and make sure that they know, what people have gotten in contact with other people that might have been infected by the disease, and then trace back to and interview those people and try to figure out what other people could have been impacted so that we can find a way to contain those problems. When you have flare-ups in different areas, this is the way that we're going to be containing these things. So you hear about contact tracing apps on the iPhone and other things like that, but there's actually going to be a whole industry coming out of this for contact tracing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an area for people to go to if there's tens of thousands of jobs. I'll give you another one. Today, I was talking to somebody that went shopping to go buy groceries. They were going to their Costco, and it turns out that there was no meats in the meat department available. They wanted to buy ground beef. They wanted to buy chicken. And we've heard that there's been some shortages here and there. I don't want to create this crisis situation that I want to. We're not going to run out of food per se, but things like that will become more expensive when they're more scarce. And the reason that they were out of food, she went there pretty early in the morning, was there was Instacart workers that were in there, and they were purchasing up all these meats and everything for different orders that people were doing with these shopping online. So, I mean, again, this whole online, the e-commerce side of thing is creating these enormous opportunities. So now there's these Instacart workers. You've probably seen them. If you've gone grocery shopping, if you look at the people that are around you, they're not just the people there that are buying food around you. There are people that are these working for various companies where they're doing the grocery shopping for you, right? So you got this whole new industry that's come in. That's a whole new job area that people can start to look at opportunities within, or try to figure ways that they can pick up work in those areas, or maybe part-time work in those areas. So those are the type of things that we got to start thinking about in terms of trying to utilize our skills. Another area is just the entrepreneurial area that, and I've heard you talk about things. I mean, people have got to start getting creative and find ways to maybe, supplement their income, or maybe even find new, sources of income completely for themselves. If you're, we're in the Zoom society, right? Everybody hears about Zoom videos and everything else. We got to learn to use these kind of skills now, not just to talk to our families and friends, but this is going to be a new way to conduct business. You got to start thinking about how to utilize these kind of tools in a professional way. And there's jobs that'll come out of that. For example, if you're in the certain types of fields that are, like, for example, the health field, things like supplements for your immune system, things like exercise. You're getting fit and you're doing all this exercise and things like that. This has become.
I'm glad I did it in time.
Well, this is the new norm. I mean, people have got to start thinking about that. There's, obesity is the number one probably problem in our country. There's too many obese people that need to start thinking about how do we try to get in shape so that we can be survivors like this. That impacts all these underlying conditions. I mean, we want to make sure that we're in the best health that we possibly can. And there's opportunities with that. I mean, you can get into a business for a supplement business or something to help to boost your immune system or to give you nutrients and things that are good for you like that. There's other new industries that are coming in, right? We have the marijuana industry, you have the CBD industries, things where you can become creative. And I've heard you talk about these things.
Yeah, we got to do what we got to do, man, because it's rough out here.
I mean, how about dealing with stress right now? How about people that are having to deal with those kind of things and other health issues? So those are the areas that we got to start thinking about. And I think there's opportunities for people to, you got to think outside the box now. This is more important than ever to start doing these things.
And here's the thing, too. People are concerned, obviously, about their money. So let's get into this, because on the radio show that we do around Chicago, we talk about the need to lower the monthly mortgage. So for the people out there who have a mortgage, because, you know, they need a place to live, it's taking on a whole new meaning. Now you do need a place to live. You're spending most of your time in your house. You know, you don't want to be threatened after this is over with losing your house. And we do know that many of the banks through the COVID-19 financial relief, they offered forbearances. So talk about that. What is the value of the forbearance that's being offered by the banks right now?
Well, look, I mean, again, we have to kind of put in perspective what's going on right now in the world. I mean, when basically the light switch goes off, like I said, people's ability to conduct themselves normally, pay their rent or their mortgage, in this case, when you're talking about forbearance, becomes difficult for people when they don't have a regular paycheck coming in like that. So the government has come out with, you know, things to try to assist people in these type of circumstances. And one of these tools is something called forbearance. And a forbearance is something where the mortgage payment that you would normally make, the mortgage company allows you to not have to make that mortgage payment for a period of time. It could be a month, several months. There are programs, you know, depending on how long this goes, it could last for a year in terms of the time period. But what people have to remember about forbearance is that forbearance is not, you know, forgiving that debt. There is going to be, the loan is going to be due. The payments that you missed will become due. And those are things that people have to remember here. So you're basically, you know, kind of deferring the issue. If there was any kind of a problem beforehand, if you have any kind of difficulty, this is not going to be, you know, the solution for you. It might be something that's a temporary band-aid to help, but it's not something that is going to be the solution. So we have to use it as a tool. I mean, it's not something that I would tell you, you know, that you shouldn't consider. There are circumstances, if you know you're going back to work, and you know that this is something that only affected you for a month or two, and you were just fine before this started, then that's a good tool for you, because you know you got your legs cut off from underneath you during this time period, and you need something to keep you up for a month or two or three until you can get back to the job. But there's a lot of people, like you said, AC, and that we're talking about, that may not be going back to those jobs, or maybe going to situations where their income is a lot lower than it was previously. So they might not have a structurally sound debt situation right now, their mortgages, their car payments and everything else that are sustainable long-term like that. And that's what people got to start thinking about. I think that there's opportunities right now to maybe consider other options besides a forbearance.
And what we do is on the radio show, we talk a lot about to be able to strategically lower your monthly mortgage. And we think that is a great thing, especially right now. First of all, I was one who did that back in the last recession, depression in 2008, and doing it again right now, because I know that the greater the leverage you have as a homeowner, the greater the opportunity for you to get a lower monthly mortgage. And there is no greater time in terms of leverage for you to act then right now. The banks, when they get financially whole again, when the stimulus money reaches their doors and they get this money from the government or from us, you know, bailouts like they did before, then they feel a little, they pop collars and feel a little bit better about themselves, and they're less likely to give the homeowner anything. That's why we tell people, listen, right now, don't take a token or crumbs from the table from the banks. What you want to do is you want to act to strategically lower the monthly mortgage. And we don't just tell them to call the bank themselves, because they need an advocate, legal advocate, because the mortgage companies have lawyers on their side. So therefore, the homeowner needs to have a lawyer on their side. So we send them over to the website, in case you all really need that information, by the way. Go to the website, theacgreenshow.com, theacgreenshow.com, and you can press the reset button and get the information about the mortgage modification.
Well, AC, a couple things that I'll mention. Some of the loans or some of the government service enterprises, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, have given some rules and some assistance potentially to people to help when they can't make those payments in full, you know, at the end of that type of a time period. But there's others that don't. And the bottom line is, this is at the end of the day, the debt is still, the obligation is still going to be due. It's not a forgiveness of those payments. So if you've had issues before, if there was things that were difficult for you before this time period, they're going to be difficult after again. And it's going to be just that much worse if your income is different or lower, and there's going to be other potential hardship. So you want to lessen that obligation, that debt as much as you can, and the best way that you can. If you can qualify for refinance, go out and refinance. If you've been keeping up your mortgage payments, if you're current with your payment, and you've got your job, you're one of the lucky ones that is able to stay in one of these necessary or essential businesses, and you can do those type of things, go out and get a refinance. This is the time to do it. The rates have never been better. These are, you know, we've heard this for many years. We're at historic lows, but truly, we are at historic lows. They've never been this low. And you got to try to take advantage of that. Same thing with, you know, as you're mentioning, modifications, other things. The banks have opportunities to give you lower rates in those renegotiations. You just have to know how to do it. And sometimes people don't have all those tools and understanding to be able to do it. So it's good to get help when you can do those things.
And what we do is with the radio show, not only do we have a party with a purpose, play great music, but we provide information for people in our community. The greatest majority of our listener is African-American. So for the Black folks in our audience, we want to make sure that they're good. Now, listen, and I don't want, for everybody who's listening, I don't want us to believe that, you know, this is a temporary thing. This is a reset of a nation and indeed the world. So what we need to do is we need to play the long game. And playing the long game is going to mean that we're going to have to, you know, reduce the monthly mortgage payment, the credit card payments, all of those things. So if you think about this more like a 5-year thing, right, in terms of your employment, in terms of your bills and all of that, you have to think longer. Because here's the issue where I see it. If in fact people are going to be less employable because the world is changing and all those things, you have to go and deal with everything. Number one, where you live. That is a central thing you have to take care of. If you already have a home, if you're renting, that's another thing. Now, if you may need some more income, so you need to maybe look at some of the ways to increase your income, go into business for yourself, all those kind of things. If you have a home that you own, then you need to not put that home in jeopardy of being foreclosed on. Because it may not happen a day tomorrow in terms of unemployment, but it could easily happen a year from now. Because George K., would you think that by the time these resets work themselves through the economic system, that it's some people that are employed maybe in 4 months that may not be employed next year?
Absolutely, AC. I mean, this is the tragedy of this whole situation is that we don't feel that way yet because we're getting the support and this temporary, you know, kind of high from the government in terms of these stimulus checks and things. But you know, remember, you got to think long term. I mean, don't take that $1,200 or whatever it is, even a couple $1,200 payments they were to give them to us and use it to go out and buy a new car. I mean, if you got a car that works, use the car you got. Don't go out there and spend money on a new iPhone if your phone works okay right now. These are the things that you got to start saving and putting away because this is a longer term deal. And here's, think about some other things that are going to impact us. You talk about the long term, AC. We talked about how government has to pay for things, right? I mean, they've just taken on, you know, theoretically here, almost $10 trillion through the various stimulus things that they are doing here. That's increased our debt from $20 trillion to $30 trillion, just to use a number. How are they going to get those dollars to be able to pay the debt that's due, the people that are holding that government debt, which is individual investors and people all over the world? How do they pay the interest to those people? Is by raising taxes. So here's what you know is going to happen. We're going to see our city governments that are almost bankrupt, our state governments, which are bankrupt pretty much, and our federal taxes are all going to be going and increasing dramatically here. Your retail taxes, your property taxes. I mean, you're talking about homeowners. Get your mortgage payment lower because your property taxes are going to be going up over the next few years. That's something we can almost count on. So the reality is we've got to find a way to kind of reset ourselves now and take advantage of the things that we can do because we're not going to have control over those other things. And you don't want to be playing catch up and playing this game with tens of millions of other people that are in the same situation. Try to take control of it and deal with it sooner rather than later.
And before we wrap up with George K. from Loyola University, I wanted you to define for everybody a word that they're going to be hearing a whole lot of going forward. That word is austerity.
Well, AC, here's the deal. Austerity is a term that we use to describe certain policies, economic, political policies that we're going to be putting in place to reduce government budget deficits. And they're going to do that through things like spending cuts, tax increases, or a combination of these type of things. You're going to find that it's going to be difficult for governments to borrow money to meet their obligations. So they're going to have to, you know, resort to other methods to be able to raise money to pay their debts like that. So, you know, they're going to be doing it through these things that we're talking about, you know, these property tax increases and all the various methods that they're going to have to do. Our federal income taxes are going to be increasing over time because that's the only way to pay for things. So, you know, we've got to get in a position where we kind of, you know, try to find ways to live more simply in some ways like that. This is not a time of flashiness. You know, we want to try to go out and try to, as you mentioned, find new ways to reinvent ourselves. We all can't be YouTube stars and Instagram influencers like you can, AC. I'm sure you're the exception to this. But, you know, we've got to find our own way to be, you know, to kind of live in this new world. And you know, we have ways to be able to do that. I mean, we don't have to be superstars to do that. There's simple ways. It's just taking accountability and also trying to find ways to live a little more simply until we can find our footing again and get back on track. And we're going to get back on track. It's just a matter of, you know, we have to be patient and understand this is a long-term deal. This is not something that even though it's lasted a couple of months, it's going to last years.
Yeah, and the reason I brought that word up, austerity, is because in 2008, you know, as people were getting through that time and things were looking like they were getting better, all of a sudden, then money was not available in the pension funds where people had looked forward to depending on that for their life. It was not there. The money was gone. And austerity, in my view, is the government's having a money party, in this case, a money giving party, or, you know, this stimulus. It benefits homeowners, but it benefits a whole lot of other people, like, you know, the big companies who took money and universities who took money that they really did not need the way other people needed it. And then later on, somebody has to pay. Listen, if you give a dance, somebody's got to pay the band. And in this case, austerity is them depending on the people that's always given. The taxpayer is the only way the government gets money. So then to come back to the people and take what little they have, I don't want people to be set up for that. So I want people to act on good information, and you have provided us great information. I will encourage everybody to act on the information. One of the things we talked about was the mortgage situation. That's our number one valued asset, the mortgage. So no doubt about it. Go at the top. You know, when I was a kid, my father used to teach us that, you know, if you run up on some guys and they look like they want to get rough with you, you identify the biggest one and you go and try to knock him down immediately, because chances are if you knock him down, then the other ones ain't going to want to fight with you. So you need to knock down your number one asset, which is your mortgage. You need to attack that. You get that lowered, your principal and interest, and then work on the insurance, home insurance, and the taxes and all that. Man, that's a big thing. You save $300-$500 on your mortgage, you're in good shape, or you're in better shape. You can handle, you can weather the storm. So we encourage everybody to get to the website, theacgreenshow.com, and press the reset button. Look for the mortgage modification information, theacgreenshow.com. Don't forget the THE. theacgreenshow.com, and look for the mortgage modification information on that, and start the process of really, you know, reinventing yourself. George K. from Loyola University, thank you for being on the AC Green Show podcast.
Thanks for having me, AC. Have a great day.
All right, you too. All right, everybody, make sure you supercharge your immune system. Do the things you need to do for your body. Without your health, you don't matter. None of this matters if you don't have your health. And we don't have vaccines, so guess what? I wouldn't take it anyway. But you need to supercharge your immune system so that you can be protected against whatever comes. All right, until next time, everybody, be well.